You're listening to the New Utah Podcast with your hosts, Bree.
People can say my name and I still don't pay attention.
Chris.
This is what happens when your number one health concern in the state is porn.
Jeremy.
Flicks it and then walks up and just kicks the living crap out of whoever.
Well, it's episode 408.
Shit, I got it. That's not what it says at the top of my paper.
I know. It was 409. We're seven away from 8 years. So about 2 months. We'll be celebrating that in May, I think. Yeah. This is a show about Utah. And whatever the fuck else we want to talk about.
Can't believe March is basically over.
Yeah, it's like, I'm overwhelmed. Can I tell you? Okay, so I think we talked about moving our daughter back this last weekend. Well, we did it. Man, that was a lot. So not only did we go down to Price to, like, move her, we are moving her partially into the house and into a storage unit. We ended up getting a bigger storage unit, so then we had to move Cassie's stuff from the small storage unit into the bigger storage unit, which saved us like $25 a month on the storage unit cost.
Chris had the brilliant idea that, well, why don't we just have their stuff in the same place?
Why would we do two small storage units? Because Brie was like, I really don't want to pay for another storage unit. I'm like, yeah. And then it occurred to me, like, oh, we're renting a storage unit at the U-Haul place, which I gotta assume is a lot more expensive than normal storage units, like even good storage unit places. And so I look, and yeah, sure enough, there's one like right down the street that's like all gated and everything, Bluetooth like entry locks.
Yeah,
and stuff.
So it's got an outside entry. This other one was inside, so that was kind of nice because it's a little bit more temperature controlled.
$25 cheaper.
Yeah. But it has Bluetooth entry, so we don't have to worry about who has the key.
Well, and they had temperature-controlled ones that were the same price as what you were paying.
I think they were, the same price as what I was paying. Yeah.
We've got a storage unit because we have so much mowing stuff in our garage, but we do it. We pay by the year. I don't know, like $1,200 a year, and if you pay for the whole year, they knock a huge chunk off.
Yeah. How big is it?
It's like a medium size.
Is it like 10 by 10?
About 10 by 10, 10 by 12, something like that.
Yeah.
Something.
So a medium size is not an accurate. So they do square footage, like 5 by 10, 10
by
10.
So we have a 10 by 10.
Yeah. So it's about 10 by 10, 10 by 12, somewhere in that ballpark.
My children have a lot of shit. And when I say shit, I mean actual garbage. Like,
that is not true. Stop it.
Some of it is in good shape. they're young 20 something.
Well, to be fair, Cassidy moved from a 3-bedroom apartment.
2-bedroom.
I mean, a 2-bedroom apartment that had like a front room and all, you know, dining table.
That she
and
had
all
furnished,
that,
yeah.
To her dad's one, like 1-bedroom in her dad's.
Yeah.
So all of her stuff. And then Sean, I didn't think had as much stuff as she does, but I guess her bed takes up a bunch of room.
Yeah. I mean, she has a fair amount of stuff, but not like Cassie, because Cassie's got like 2 couches and a fucking chair and
a dining table
and a big old coffee table and a whole bunch of stupid plant shelving. And like, so they have a bunch of stuff. They also have a bunch of stuff that is just stuff they didn't go through and purge.
When my brother moved to Texas, we helped him move, and they're the kind of people that you show up to help them move and they haven't even boxed anything.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, Cassie's like that.
My girls have started to learn. Cassie hopefully has learned. Sean has definitely learned. Everything was boxed from
That's
Sean.
Good. So we crammed it all in the biggest U-Haul you can get, and they drove it to Texas, and then he flew back and drove a second truck down to Texas. And within about 4 or 5 months, they started throwing stuff away and like, why did we move all this garbage? And it's like,
yeah. Like, that's what you do when you pack it up. You throw it away as you're going.
To be fair, when Cassie was packing up her apartment, she had just had a really bad breakup. And it was like, she was not in a good headspace. And so, I think just everything just got put in boxes. And not, I mean, we tried to throw some stuff out when we got there. And she actually had done a pretty decent job for once. But Sean is always ready when we're ready to move her. She's always like had all of our stuff
by
together.
The time I was about 21, I had moved 18 times.
Yeah, I moved a lot too.
So,
when I was a kid.
Like everything I owned fit in 2 boxes.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of shit either. So, but I will say, like, if you, and I think the girls have learned, if you want a not grumpy asshole Chris moving you, then have your shit in boxes.
Because
for me, when I help someone move, I want to fucking pick stuff up, put it in a truck, take it out of a truck, put it where it goes. That's moving to me.
Yeah.
If I'm fucking standing there and you like, here's my closet full of clothes. No, fuck off. You pack that shit in a box.
He's also a big box fan so that, you know, like you can stack it because if it's in a bag or whatever, like you can't stack a bag.
Don't stack well.
No. And they fucking fall over everything and the storage unit is packed, let's say. And there's some boxes and there's some bags with poles in them that fucking fall out.
There's actually not that many bags. It's just the bags that we have are.
Also, yeah. Sean's finally learned you can't pack all your books in a large box and make it weigh 200 pounds so the box just fucking breaks when you go to move it.
Or that nobody can move it but, like, the strongest person, and even they're like, you know.
So, you know, books go in small boxes.
Or a few boxes and some towels, or boxes and some pillows, books and lighter stuff.
But I suspect
stuffed animals.
Once Sean is permanently moved into her room and goes through whatever she needs from the storage unit, that thing won't get touched again until Cassie moves into her own place.
Well, I think Cassie's going to lend her couch to her friend, but I don't know that they're going to take the couch out until her friend gets the new apartment. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
By them, you mean I'm going to take the couch out because I'm going to have to unbury it. They're in the very back. Stacked up on each other.
And that's my fault, because like, she told me that, and I basically
it wouldn't have mattered anyway. Unless we could actually have moved the couch then to there, it would have still had to go in like that for it all to fit. Like it's
we probably could have, actually. I didn't think about it.
You can't really, like, ram the couch in at the end like you can a few small boxes and stuff you can toss
that
on
top. That bigger
stuff's
kind of got to go in
I was super proud of myself, though, because Chris and Dawn got almost all of Cassie's stuff into the U-Haul. Now, we used a bigger U-Haul to move her, but I didn't want to rent a bigger U-Haul for Sean's stuff, which easily fit into the U-Haul that we had.
Just get the smallest.
So I got the smallest box van, but all of Cassie's stuff didn't quite fit in it. And if Chris had just taken a couple more boxes, it would have been perfect. But I was like, I'm not just going to sit here and wait for them to come back with the U-Haul. So I start loading up the CRV and I'm like, Jenga-ing that stuff. Like, it was, I was so impressed, but I was like, Sean, like, what if I left? Cause there were like just a few things, and if I could use the front seat, like even fewer, I was like, her sister had called and said, do you want me to stop by? She gets off work. And I'm like, yes, please stop by. I'm like, what if I just left you here with these few things and then you and your sister can bring them? And she's like, yeah, I guess I can just like watch Malcolm in the Middle. And then I was like, well, I can go close out the storage unit. I can do a bunch of stuff before I leave. Well, Cassie got there like just in time. And then I was like, I didn't think about it, but the guys need a ride back anyway. So it was a good thing that Cassie came. So I had like the CRV was like, there was not an inch to spare. And then there were three things that we put in Cassie's car with the three of them and Cassie. So Cassie drove the people. And I drove all the shit over, and we got it all done right before it started to rain.
In my brain, I was like, no, we could just take all the shit that's in this U-Haul. We could go now. We can come back and get what's left.
What would fit my CRV.
It will be faster for us to go and come back and unload all that shit than it will to try and get all the boxes to fit somewhere and get everyone over there. Like, it'll just be faster. And it almost ended up being as fast because we were back. But like right
around
when
Cassie
got there.
But you would have had to load everything in and then drive over there and then drive the U-Haul back, which we didn't have to do.
Still fine if we would have had to do that, probably. But anyway.
You just want to be right.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, I'd shut down the storage unit. They'd come up, inspected it, all that kind of stuff. We waited like 10 minutes. They showed up with the U-Haul. They went out, looked at it, checked us out, and off we went.
So that's for everyone that is bored to death now about our moving.
If you need any advice, we're really, really good at it because we've moved our daughters five bajillion times.
I thought when I moved into my forever home, which is what this home is, that I was done moving. Nope. I think I've moved more in the last 5 years than I moved the rest of my life with the two kids. Like, especially Sean's moved so many fucking times. Also, because of the Sean moving in and the renovations, I've given up on a garden before I even started.
You just know.
I'm trying to finish school, which I think I, you know, that probably wouldn't have been such a big deal, but with the Sean thing and having a couple of big trips planned already, I just don't, I'm not going to have time. And I'm trying to rehabilitate the yard. So,
which he's done. He's got the peat moss out there. And
yeah. So Sunday, after the move, my plan was to go do the whole yard Sunday. And it was fucking snowing like all day.
Yeah.
He was in a shitty mood that day.
Yeah, I went out and ran a bunch of errands, and I was like, fuck, I'm not even going to bother going to the hardware store to get this stuff. I already had the seed. I got the seed while I was out. But I'm like, I'm not even going to go look for peat moss because I can't fucking do anything about it right now. So, but then, like, it died down, and then all the snow melted Sunday before it got dark, and I'm like, fuck, I'm going to go throw the seed down then. And so I threw all the seed down. So, and then we went yesterday and went and got some peat moss from the hardware store, and I put all the peat moss down today. I was on brain overload from, I'm in the middle of like transitioning jobs, and I'm working a lot for both jobs right now, so I'm like plus school.
He sends me a message, I am so overwhelmed. I'm going to go out and put the peat moss out.
I have to take a break. I have to take an actual break and get away from the computer, get away from the office. And so I went out and
so that's kind of what gardening and stuff like that is for me, is I can walk away from work and do those things. And it just, it's a
break. It was a really good break for me to do that. So anyway, I've got peat moss all around the backyard. And it's all seeded, and hopefully the birds now won't go eat all my fucking seeds, 'cause little assholes, I think, do that.
Hopefully that'll help with Phoebe walking on it too, to not, disturb it so much.
It is the perfect week to do it, because it is supposed to, short of tomorrow, rain or snow all week.
Yep. And we got our potatoes and our peas planted over the weekend.
So I will try. I'll probably till up the garden. I'm still going to till up the garden. I did get some fabric barrier that I'm going to lay over the garden for this year, because I tilled it up, but it's like, you know what? I don't want to deal with the weeds coming through this year, because I can just pull that stuff up next year.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a bed that I can till real fast next
year. The other thing
you
could do next year is only put holes in the fabric where you plant.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Maybe that is what I'll do.
Which is actually what you should do.
So just put the fabric down this year, call it good, and then next year only put holes where you're planting.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Helps keep the weeds down.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what I'll do. So that won't take as much effort.
we're trying to get all this stuff done before we leave on our May cruise for my work, because
then you get back.
When we get back, it's 22 days later that we leave for an international flight, and I don't want to be trying to mess around with the renovations and stuff during those. I want it to be done so that when I come back, I can unpack. So, I can decompress and then start packing again.
Yeah, I don't think there will be any decompressing happening. How about your garden? You said you got your peas and potatoes,
which is perfect because we got it all in on Saturday when the weather was decent. And then, yeah, it snowed Sunday, rained all day yesterday and today. So, like, perfect. I'm glad we got them in. Bees, I haven't heard yet, but I know those are going to be soon. With the rain and snow, I don't think it'll be for another week or two.
Yeah.
But soon.
The 1st of April, we're thereabouts, just depending on weather. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah, my aspens seeded the shit out of my yard. Somebody be fighting trees all year.
Looks like we have freaking caterpillars all over our yard.
I will say, though, new wheelbarrow's freaking awesome. The, nice. Like, wagon wheelbarrow.
Yeah, I bought him a new wheelbarrow. Like, I got him a good one. I invested money in it. You know, I didn't do the $30 wheelbarrow.
It's a four-wheeled wagon wheelbarrow that completely, you know, dumps its
It completely
load.
Turns upside down. So you can either just tilt it up or you can flip it over.
It was nice. I used it to haul the peat moss around the yard. That was way better than trying to like shovel it and move it around.
I've learned over the years the hard way with something like that, just buy the better one.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're just buying cheap.
Like most wheelbarrows, unless you stick them in a shed and out of the weather. And even then, like when they're the plastic with the hard points on them, they always give out where those points come in.
I've got one that my dad had forever and ever, and he wanted me to haul it to the trash, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with it, so I kept it and used it for years.
Yeah.
My dad's, it was metal.
Yeah, it's metal.
Yeah, they don't
And it was deeper than they make wheelbarrows anymore, too.
They don't really make stuff like that very often anymore. That's the thing that sucks, is everything's made so cheaply. You know, those things that people bought in the 50s fucking lasted 60, 70, 80 years.
I think my dad's finally just ended up rusting because that, like, all the paint was gone and
I
it finally just
I still have that one,
rusty.
But it's seen better days. So about 2 years ago, I did get another metal one that should last, like, forever. But over the years, I've had different cheap ones, and they just don't last. It's like, just spend the extra money.
I'm kind of excited to use it, because normally, like when we weed, like, I'm trying to get the weeds in a bucket so I don't have to, like, rake them up, or I get tired of it, and I just end up throwing it out, and then I have to rake it all up. Like, this is nice and big, and I can just throw weeds in it.
It was fun. Holly's new husband brought their boys over, because he wanted them... Remember how the punishment used to be when you guys had your kids at home, that they were going to have to come work at my house?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a punishment, but...
No.
It was a threat.
Well, I mean, and I threatened... We told Sean the same thing. Like, you know, she has a surgery tomorrow, and she's going to be out of commission for a couple of weeks. But we're like, you have to have a job. You're not just living here free. You have to work not just a job, but full time.
But to be fair, we moved her Saturday. She had already scheduled an interview for yesterday.
Nice. But like, you have to work full time, and if you don't, there's plenty for you to do, and we will put your ass to work. So, and that has happened before.
So Brandon bought the boys, and they were actually relatively helpful. Since we got stuff done so quickly, I'm like, well, I need help. Every spring, I have to get all the chickens out, and I have to put powder on them. Sometimes they get mites over the winter.
Yeah.
So I just de-louse them.
You just rather do it than not.
Yeah. So I'm like, you guys are going to help me catch chickens. So Morgan, their oldest one, he had a ball chasing the chickens around and catching chickens.
How old is he?
He'll be in high school next year, so he's about around 15. And then Jackson's the younger one. He's in sixth grade, going into seventh grade, so 12, 13-ish.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, they did have a lot of fun catching the chickens, which, by the way, nobody has offered to name a chicken yet, so I'm just going to throw that out there. They need names. And... the Jersey Giants will be available in about 2.5 weeks, so I'm getting more.
Yeah. Oh, you're getting more Jersey Giants?
No, I didn't get any last year.
Yeah, okay. You're just getting
some this
year.
Because the whole stupid raffle thing and
I'm excited to see these Jersey Giants.
We were actually talking about that when we were shopping yesterday, I think.
When we were at Lowe's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chris was like, can't wait to see those Jersey Giants.
Not when they're babies.
Not when they're babies, but...
when they get bigger.
I'm assuming when they're babies, they're about the same.
Yeah, like...
Even if they're not, they'll just look like...
It'll be adolescence.
They'll just look like when the baby chicks get bigger for a while.
I'm excited to see.
All chickens look the same when they're babies.
Yeah.
But as they grow, like, once they get into adolescence, you really start to see the difference.
Which is within a month.
Yeah.
I just learned how chickens procreate on freaking TikTok the other day.
You guys are both welcome for that, if Jeremy didn't already know.
I already knew that, but it was
it's a really interesting. It's a really interesting. So basically, daddy ejaculates and mommy carries the semen around with her and fertilizes the eggs that she
wants to
fertilize.
But doesn't incubate them.
And leaves them fertilized but not incubated until
she's
done.
She's good for about a month.
Yeah.
And then
the crazy thing is they all hatch at like the same time.
Because she starts incubating them at the same time.
Yeah.
They'll hatch within 24
They're like in the
hours.
Freezer or something. It's like when you make them food and you like put it in the freezer and then you can like get more than one thing out, even though maybe you made it a different time. That's what she's doing. I hadn't ever thought about it because like I just didn't put that much thought into it. Like, yeah, a chicken lays an egg every day, but you don't have like variation of chicken babies. They're all the same.
They'll hatch within...
I think she said like
24 to 40.
Usually within a day or two. I remember from doing like chicken hatching experiments in school.
Yeah.
Like, so in this, I think maybe I've said this on the podcast before. I don't know, but, I remember in high school biology, we had a class and they injected chickens with hormones just like they would at a farm, like at a factory farm. And those fucking chickens had the biggest damn legs ever. They were like monster chickens. They were insane, all because of the steroid injections.
Yeah. When I was at a grade school in Iowa, at the library, so this was late 70s and the open classroom concept, so like our school was pretty much open. Anyway, the library was in the center of the school and open. And every year they would do chicks, I don't know, 20, 30 chicks. And so you could come before school, after school, or during your library time. Back when schools had libraries and you actually like checked out books.
Yeah.
Is that not a thing anymore?
You should see how small the
they
libraries
have libraries,
are.
But
they're tiny. because you can get everything. Anyway, so I remember watching the chicks and all of that when I was a kid. I always thought that was fascinating.
You can hear that on the mic.
Your pretzels.
I'm sorry. I'm hungry. I mean, I ate at work, but I started work at 5:30 this morning.
Yeah.
And I pulled up at 6 o'clock. Well, it was 5:59 when I pulled into the garage.
Maybe bite it on the other side. Because when you bite it on that side, you can hear that. And then it's quiet.
So last week we talked about Aria, Nick, darling.
And yeah.
Nick being in the Netherlands. And we said, we're asking, well, did Folk Hogan go with them? And the answer is yes sort and no. Of. Yes, Folk Hogan is out there. I'm guessing they'll cross paths.
They're going to meet up probably. Yeah.
But right now, Folk Hogan is in Hamburg, Germany at the Cowboy und Indianer. I'm saying that horribly. bar. So if you're,
I think you said that probably as accurately as you could, sir.
So if you're going to be in Hamburg this next week, April 4th, 5th, 8th, and 9th, go check out Folk Hogan.
If not, wish them luck for their awesome
But they've
tour.
Been posting lots of pictures and snippets, both Folk Hogan and Nick. So you can go to their social medias and catch little bits and pieces of some of the concerts. But yeah, they'll be in Hamburg, Germany. So I do think somewhere along the tour, they all kind of meet up because Nick is part of
Folk Hogan.
He's a pretty stalwart part of Folk Hogan, too.
Anyway, we were talking about that last week, so there's your follow-up.
So it's three guys. So Nick, what are the other two guys? The guy that plays
it's
the mandolin?
Four, right?
Well, there's the three of them, like Nick, the dude that plays the mandolin, and his buddy. I can't remember his name.
I can and he's got the note.
Yeah.
But
those three have basically been Folk Hogan. They've gone through, I think, some drummers. And I know they've gone through some other players. And the band's bigger, obviously.
Hasn't Moses been their lead singer the whole time?
Yeah, I think so. And Moses is the guy that plays the mandolin. And
okay.
Moses and the other guy.
And then the other guy, and one of the songs is about his dad, and his dad passed away about a year and a half ago. So I know exactly who we're talking about.
I just can't think of his name. And I'm too lazy to look it up. It's been a long day. Bree and I both started work at 5:30 this morning.
Yeah, those guys are, I know we've said it 1,000 times, but I'll say
they're so awesome.
1,000 more. Watching them live is amazing. And they're pulling out instruments you just not ever think of.
It's great, man. Banjos, mandolins, like accordions.
I just tried to talk
about mouth harpy, doingy, doingy, doingy thing.
Mouth harpy,
doingy, doingy, doingy.
Y'all knew that's not
I mean, that might that's be a whole entire different kind of mouth harpy.
Mouth harpy, doingy, doingy, doingy.
Doinga, doinga, doinga. That, I think, is going to be our fucking episode title.
But all these crazy instruments, but they sound amazing, and they don't sound hillbilly. They sound like, they're awesome.
They're great. Okay, so it is the last week of the month of March. And it's Utah Adventure Week.
Dun-dun-dun.
So, we went on an adventure recently, last weekend, actually.
Yep.
With Jeremy's old man condition.
My old man condition. We're kind of limited.
We're trying to keep things, relatively close and relatively mild in terms of activity.
Calm.
No strenuous things.
This for a few months. Well, we've talked about
Jeremy's not going to go skydiving anytime soon.
No. Others might. But we also talked about Lagoon, but I couldn't ride most of it.
Yeah.
So, just things like that.
I mean, it's okay, but there's so much stuff
we'll
to do.
We'll just put you on the Ferris wheel.
And we actually,
Sky Tram.
Don't take this guy off, okay? Just let him stay here. He won't bother anybody.
We were talking about things we could do, and I was like, well, why don't we go to Wise Guys and see a comedy show? We've had several comedians on the show. A lot of them go, perform at Wise Guys. Wise Guys, while not the only comedy club in the area, is kind of the premier comedy club in the area. And I'm like, well, why don't we just go to Wise Guys? Like, Travis has been on the show multiple times.
Chris.
Jay Whitaker's been on
Chris
the show.
Chris, I know a comedian.
That's Travis.
Yes, that is Travis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris. So, Travis is still doing a ton of stuff with Wise Guys.
Uh-huh.
I think he hosts their Rickles Room, which is
he was in a lot of their promotional material that we saw.
He does a lot for Wise Guys. We also had Kat. She performed at Wise Guys, right?
Yep.
So comedy is actually surprisingly big in Utah. There's a lot of comedians here. We have a really thriving local scene. We're also beloved by a lot of comedians that run the circuit, names.
Looking at the list, I know this already, but looking at the list and the pictures on the wall when we were there, I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that person. Oh yeah. I mean, like Kevin Nealon from Saturday Night Live.
Oh fuck. He's been on here a ton of times.
Is coming in a few weeks. I mean, just right off the top of my head, but there, yeah, it's amazing how many comedians want to come to Utah.
And so, and we talked about it. We talked about which one we would go to. So in Utah, there are four. Really, there's three. There's the one at the Gateway, which is their big room. So used to be the big room was in West Valley. And it was over by the E Center or the Maverick Center, or whatever the fuck it is now.
Cause it used to be at Trolley Square and that was not a lot of space.
I've got a little info on those.
I'm pretty sure it's an adult store now.
Could be. Actually. So West Valley was the very first one. It opened in 2001.
Yeah. And that's the one. I mean, I have fond memories of the big room in West Valley. That's what they used to call it. And it was, I mean, the big room is, it's not that big. It was not that big. Like, it's probably half the size of what the room is now at the Gateway.
Yeah. So the historic Ogden opened in 2003.
Yeah. So not too long after, very successful down here. So they opened one up in Ogden.
Then was Trolley Square in 2009.
Yeah, and so that was when they moved. So they opened up Trolley Square, but they were still also in the big room in West Valley at that point.
So then they closed West Valley and Trolley Square to shift over to the Gateway in 2015. Which I didn't realize it was. I thought it was newer than that, but no,
it's been around. So and the space that it's at and the Gateway used to be. It was a few different things, but it was for a long time an Italian restaurant, like a really fancy Italian restaurant. And I got to, I had the fortunate circumstance of actually being at the Wise Guys before it opened. We were potentially going to do a deal with Wise Guys and using our point of sale. And I'll tell you, like so I've been to the Trolley Square location as well. That was a weird room. So Trolley Square, the main room was much smaller. They did a lot of TVs out to other rooms, but the main room was really small. And it was like the location in Trolley Square. I don't remember what restaurant it was. Like it was like a spaghetti factory or some weird shit like that. But the building, like, it's just a whole bunch of little rooms with a bunch of tables in them. See, and it is very much a restaurant.
I never went to the one in Trolley Square. I had been to the West Valley.
So the move to the Gateway was really I mean, that was a great move for Wise Guys.
It's a nice big facility. So Jordan Landing opened in 2019. Mm-hmm.
Just before COVID, basically.
They have two in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas original one in the Arts District, which Pauly Shore actually helped get it there.
Yeah, and then they have another one there, right?
Yep. So 2021 was the Arts District, Las Vegas, and then Town Square opened last year, 2023, like September of last year. So that one's
I have not been to Jordan Landing yet. So I'm going to try and make it out to that one because that's actually right by the house. And so one thing that I can tell you from comedy in general, we'll get to this. We'll just let you keep going with some history.
So six. They have six facilities.
Well, technically, they have five. So Rickles Room is not really a different facility. Rickles Room is in the Gateway. So, you know, when we came in, you know, the lounge and there was that stage, that's the Rickles Room.
Okay.
And so that one is a much smaller room.
Right.
And it's a much more, and that's where they do, I think, like a lot of their open mic and stuff like that is in the Rickles Room.
Right. So it is the same building, two venues in one building. So yeah. Five facilities.
You walk through the Rickles Room to get to the other space.
So did you want me to, Do you want to get into kind of the background? Are you just the owner, Keith Stubbs?
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about that stuff.
Okay, so when looking at the history, there's not a whole lot of history of the actual facilities. I kind of gave you what there was.
Yeah.
But Keith Stubbs is the owner. He was born in South Carolina in 1960. His dad served in the armed forces, so they moved around a lot as a kid. He was the fifth of seven children. Graduated in South Carolina in 1978. He then went to BYU. He didn't graduate BYU because he decided to get into, what was it that he went into?
Jeremy's reading. He's scanning.
Sorry.
He's reading his notes that he printed out. Notes.
He went into like insurance or something like that. But decided after a short period of time doing that. Oh, broker. He was a broker. Sorry. He didn't want to do that. He decided to get into comedy. So he went to the Improv Groundlings Theater in Hollywood, California, and began performing stand-up comedy in 1991. Throughout his career, he's opened for people like Louis Black, Jim Gaffigan, Joan Rivers, So he's open for some big people. Yep. And he does a lot of his own stuff. He also had two radio programs here in Salt Lake. The first was called The Stubbs Show on 101.5 The Eagle. And then the Keith Stubbs Sports on ESPN. Did you ever listen to him when he did sports?
Yeah, the Stubbs Show, the other one that he did was also a sports show. So he's a sports radio guy. I've talked to him about it. He really enjoyed the radio stuff, but comedy is 100% his true passion.
That's his thing. So he's also been on A&E's, improv. And then he was also on Rob Schneider's Netflix series, The Real Rob.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done TV. He's done radio. But once again, it all comes back to stand up.
Yeah. And that's why he opened Wise Guys. Wise Guys was a really big deal. He, you know, back in the late 90s, there wasn't really a good stand up venue in Utah.
I remember that. I mean, they would do, what was that?
They did a lot of it in bars and stuff.
Bars and then like the old theater in Magna.
Yeah. But the problem when you do stand up in bars, like you do open mic nights and stuff, one is you're not drawing any real comedians to the place.
No.
And so at that point, the only comedians we ever got were ones that would show up and do like a Bravenal Hall or,
part of a circuit.
Capitol Theater or something, like part of some tour that they're doing. But it was fairly rare to get good acts here. It's not really a way to like develop a thriving comedy scene either, because at bars, people go there to converse and drink, not to listen to a stand-up comedian.
I remember.
And so people just fucking talk while someone's
Dead Goat, if you remember back then. Yeah. I want to say they had like an open mic comedy night. And so yeah, things like that, but not a dedicated like comedy.
Your purpose is to go there and watch the comedian. Comedy.
Yeah. And I think, you know, ultimately that's what probably drove Keith to open them. I bet if you asked him, he'd say the same thing. Like we needed a space and it was open market, basically.
Yeah. So one of the interviews I was reading, an old, I think it was the Tribune, doesn't really matter, interview with him back around that time. He was saying that you'd go to these venues, the people were rude, but they really weren't there to see you. And it was very frustrating.
Yeah. It's really hard for a comedian to get up and do a set when people don't give a shit.
And so he'd been in Hollywood, California, which is probably the hardest place to get your foot in the door. He moves back to Utah and decides, in 2001, I'm going to open my own place. And so he took his money and everything he had and threw it into opening the first Wise Guys in West Valley.
Yeah. And it's been, I think if you asked him, it's not been all like fucking sunshine and roses, but it's been very successful. He's figured out over the year, like, cause I remember back in the day, like Wise Guys in West Valley was a 2-drink minimum. Like if you went there, you paid whatever and you had to buy drinks. And that's cause it's not cheap to run a comedy club.
No.
And you know, the cover at the door doesn't really do anything for the owner of the comedy club. And so.
Well, then it went through the private club phase with Utah's liquor laws where it had to be a private club. So you had, so that didn't help his, I mean, that wasn't his fault, but that didn't
But that
help.
Was, those were hoops that he had to jump through
Going
over
through
the
that.
Years. But he's navigated all that fairly well. And, you know, Wise Guy's obviously very successful with 5 physical locations and kind of 6 rooms that they do comedy in. So
then he also owns, Dry Bar.
Yeah. And we've talked to some of the comedians on the show about Dry Bar. Dry Bar is a venture that he started down in Utah County, but it is family friendly comedy.
Yep.
So no raunchy shit.
And he started it with, Neil Harmon, who was the CEO of VidAngel. Is VidAngel around anymore?
No, they got their ass sued into oblivion. That's what happens when you fucking violate copyright law and piss off Hollywood.
So I know Neil Harmon was in on it up front. I couldn't find anything that says whether or not he's still part of it. But
there is some streaming service attached to Dry Bar too, right?
Well, cause originally Dry Bar was VidAngel's, like kind of how Netflix does their own series. VidAngel's Dry Bar was kind of their
And so I think Dry Bar now is a way to get you can stream like all the stuff that Dry Bar does. There's a subscription service to stream and
they only record, and this may have changed, but twice a year, and they do 3 comics at a time. They happen to be recording, I think, right now, the end of March, like right now they're in the process of recording. Tickets aren't that expensive, but they're hard to get because they only have a few people. Well, they only have room for a certain amount of people, and then they only record it a couple times. And it's live. They record it, and then it goes out on all the streams.
Plus, I'm sure because it's, you know, family-friendly-ish. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's okay.
It's
like,
clean comedy.
Yeah, clean comedy. That's what the word
clean
is.
Clean and
for.
Squeaky clean comedy.
They are – there's probably a higher
so actually,
demand.
Kind of a side note to that. So the cruise that we were just on a few weeks ago, one of the comedians I happened to run into her at the bar, and we were talking a little bit. And, you know, she asked where I was from. I said Salt Lake. And she brought up the dry bar.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of talking about the dry bar, and I'm like, yeah, she says it's actually very difficult to get into. You have to, mm-hmm. you have to make a tape, well, a video, send it in. But she said the problem is so many, comedians want to do it because then it opens up and says that you can be clean. So it's actually yeah. become a status thing amongst.
Yeah. It's a big, comedians. It's a big deal. Well, and it's funny because you talk about clean comedy and like, so you think like, okay, like Bob Saget. Maybe, yeah. like, maybe the guy, the Family Home Videos guy, no, Bob Saget he's dirty. Like, that dude
horrible.
Swears a ton.
He's dead.
Yeah, that's, swore a ton, sorry. But, you
and
know, that
raunchy,
guy,
like,
yeah, like, really raunchy. Raunchy. But you want to know, like, Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Clean dude. Like, that's, if you I've ever seen. Listen to his comedy, he never
I
swears.
Love Jim Gaffigan.
I've seen Jim Gaffigan. None of them is Tim Allen. Raunchy as
yeah.
hell.
Yeah, these guys that did these like crazy family sitcom shows.
In fact, one of the things he talked about is how much
Tim Allen is the Santa Claus.
How much he hates kids. And he said he did a little bit about him just doing the Santa Claus and F this and F that. And finally, the producer's like, first of all, this is Disney. You can't talk like that. And second of all, look how you're dressed. You're going to traumatize these kids because they think you're Santa. Anyway, it was, but yeah, you think Tim Allen was funny because, we're sitting in there and he starts right off and it says explicit on the sign.
Oh yeah.
Kids, but, and it's funny how within 15 minutes, about a third of the people got up and left.
Yeah. Like people just didn't realize that. So the dry bar is it is all clean comedy. It's really, really cool venture that Stubbs.
So I do want to bring up one thing that Chris and I were kind of talking about before the show. We won't get into it too deep, but I found it very interesting.
I think we should get into it deep.
So, the owner, Keith Stubbs is, LDS. And in all of the stuff that I was looking for, he doesn't say a whole lot about Wise Guys. It's very difficult to get much from him about Wise Guys, but when it comes to, the dry bar, he's very open. He talks about it all the time. He's been interviewed by, Mormon apostles and church members and how he's a clean, you know, he promotes clean. And then, but on the other hand, he also owns Wise Guys, which has some very foul-mouthed people and serves alcohol. And so kind of my comment to Chris was that seems really two-faced to me. But Chris brought up a really good point. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I don't think it's two-faced at all. I think it's – so, you know, in the Mormon religion, I mean, in Christian religions as well, they, you know, they all preach some form of agency or choice or, you know, you have the right to choose what you want to do. And realistically, like from a – like if you think of Christian faith in an actual biblical sense – you know, Jesus taught Christians to not judge other people and to like let them live their own lives. You just be the best person you can be. And, you know, I think from, I definitely don't think it's hypocritical at all to own a business that has, foul-mouthed comedians
and
serves alcohol because there's nothing that says other people can't drink. That's sure. just something that, you know, in theory, as a LDS member in good standing, you are not doing. But that doesn't mean other people can't and that other people can't enjoy it.
So after Chris said that, I kind of was like, okay, that is a good point. So I went down a little rabbit hole real quick looking up. And I Googled something to the effect of, can a Mormon own a business that serves alcohol? And you want to talk about two like very different opinions all coming from the Mormon community. Yes, you can. No, you can't. If you do, you're going to hell. I mean, it is such a heated debate.
Well, I mean, most, to be fair, most LDS, and this is, I don't want to just
Christianity in general.
I don't want to put this just on LDS. I'll put it on every organized religion out there. Most people in organized faiths don't actually fucking understand the organized faith's rules.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like LDS, if you read their scriptures and their testaments and all that crap, they could smoke weed.
Oh yeah.
The herb of the ground
is good
for them.
There's nothing against drinking coffee or anything like that either.
It's, in fact, if you cold brewed coffee, which
okay,
is
cause it's cold.
Fucking spectacular and way more.
But why is hot? Why do they allow hot chocolate? Because that it literally it says hot no drinks. Hot drinks.
So,
but to go along with that, I mean, not to split hairs, but the early church, the SMI owned the biggest whiskey distillery.
Oh yeah, I mean Brigham Young was a huge he had a ton of breweries.
Yeah, yeah. He owned the breweries and distilleries.
Yeah.
So within, I mean, it's so anyway. My initial thought was, wow, that's pretty hypocritical and two-faced. But after Chris said that, and it's like, no, you do have a good point. I mean,
yeah, and again, I've talked to Keith Stubbs personally about the club. He absolutely adores Wise Guys. I think that he's got Wise Guys to a point that he doesn't need to talk about it anymore.
Yeah,
and he wants to promote this other thing, this dry bar comedy, because it's, you know, it's big, and it's big in the comedian world. There's a lot of interest in it, and Wise Guys is a place that, you know, a ton of big names come through. Like, everyone under the sun has been to Wise Guys.
The list goes on forever, but like Jim Brewer.
I've seen Joe Rogan at Wise Guys. I don't know if you could list them all. Like, there are so many people. Like, let me just tell you who's coming up at the, so the Gateway is going to be the one that gets all the big names, by the way, because it's the biggest room. Sometimes, they'll come here and then they'll also go up to Ogden and they might go down to Vegas.
Well, the other thing is logistically it's downtown. It's 12 minutes away from the airport.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If somebody's flying in, they can get them from the airport and get them to Wise Guys in minutes.
So you've got Harlan Williams. You've got Brainerd, who's a new up-and-coming comic that got famous on TikTok. Really funny guy. Let's see. Kelsey Cook's really funny.
Christina Kremansky or whatever, yeah, that's coming up. I love her. I follow her on everything she talks about. Like,
oh, Christina Kuzum.
Yeah, Kuzmik or whatever. She is like, she's really awesome for moms to listen to, because she like lays it out there, like all the shit that she's gone through as a mom and like how hard it is to be a mom, and it's like being a parent sucks.
These are
awesome.
All folks in the next couple of months. You've got Adam Carolla, you've got Brad Williams, Dave Attell, Trevor Wallace, another comedian that I think came up through TikTok more than anything is where he started. You've got Nick Swardson from like Reno 911.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Grandma's Boy. You've got Taylor Tomlinson, who's fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God.
If you've not listened to her stuff.
She is so funny.
The two girls that sing Fuck Me in the Ass Because I Love Jesus, they've been there. Yeah.
You've got Miss Pat. I'm just upcoming. These are people coming through the next few months. Kevin Nealon's coming again. Patton Oswalt's coming again.
He's huge.
I mean, and this is just, I mean, that's just a smattering of the people coming over the next few months. And, you know, we still have comics that come and do big shows. I went to, Bert Kreischer's Comedy Festival, which was fucking fantastic. And occasionally we'll get, arena type shows where they'll go sell out the Capitol Theater or something.
When I went to Jim Gaffigan, it was at the, it's no longer the Delta Center, or is it going to be?
It is the Delta Center again.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he played.
Yeah. And so, and that's the thing. Like some of the guys that are really, really big will go do those shows. But when they're not doing a tour for a specific, like the tour I went and saw, they all have like entire things that they're doing specifically for that tour. They've really honed in those shows, and they're fucking hilarious. No doubt about it. What you're going to find at Wise Guys is when they're not on a big tour, like post Netflix special or in the middle of a Netflix special, they're going to come to Wise Guys and you're going to get to hear a lot of the material that you haven't heard before, that you haven't seen on their specials and that they're working on.
They're trying it out on a smaller crowd.
So when we went and saw Chris Hardwick.
Yep.
So part of the decision was, hey, let's go see this bigger name, downtown. It was like $10 more than the West Jordan location. So we went and saw Chris Hardwick. For those that you don't know, he hosted the Walking Dead talk show at the After Talk show that was like this weird sensation. He's got this podcast called At Nerdist. He's got After Midnight was like a TV quiz show that he did with celebrities that was fucking hilarious. So he's, you know, he's kind of like a B-rate celebrity, but he's a stand-up comic at heart. And he was clearly working on material. Like, he had his iPad out. He was flipping through, like, oh, what about this bit? Let's see how this bit lands. And, like,
well, and then there were some technical difficulties with some of this stuff, which actually made it funny.
And you can see.
It kind of showed his prowess, too, because, like, he made it work and it was fine.
Yeah, rolling with the punches, interacting with the audience on purpose.
But it's a small, I mean, it's a big enough venue, but a small enough crowd at the same time.
Yeah, when they're up on stage at, like, a theater, they're not having conversations with people in the front row.
No.
By the way, word of warning, if you sit in the front row, most comedians will interact with you and probably fucking make fun of you. So just be aware of that.
Second row and third. And we were, he was talking and breathing. Uh-huh. And then, yeah, so we had interaction in row three.
Yeah. So, and it's a much bigger place, but there's still that intimate feel right around the stage. But that's what you're going to get, is you're going to get comedians come through that are working on new material, and some of it lands and some of it doesn't, but the really good ones are able to still continue moving forward with the show.
I thought he was great despite the hiccups.
It was hilarious.
It was awesome.
It was so good. And I will say that I don't think the opening act was that great. He was a little rough.
Heather and I kind of talked about it on the way home, and I was like, well, I liked, the thing I did like is he's local, and so his local jokes were funny.
Yeah.
Like, coming down from Cache Valley. I mean, so
it was rough at the start. I think he smoothed out towards the end and it was a little bit better on the backside. But that's what you're going to get at a local comedy club. And they're not like every weekend's not a big name. Most are actually on Friday and Saturday nights, but you know, during the week they do open mic nights. I think on Wednesdays usually, they also have a bunch of local nights. And especially when you go, you'll see smaller touring comedians when you go to some of the other venues. And they're great. You know, you'll usually see two or three or four comics. So a guy like Chris Hardwick, you're going to see one opener and then you're going to see the headliner.
Hour.
Yeah. He was there for at least an hour, but a lot of other shows, you're going to see two to three comedians. I will say this, if you end up where you're like going every couple of weeks, you're going to see a lot of the same material. So you do need to space it out a little bit or go to different clubs, go to the different locations.
Yeah. Go to South Jordan and then go to downtown.
Because especially the local guys, they're working on sets. So they're repeating some of the stuff, you know, night after night because their thought is they're playing to different audiences. So just kind of be aware of that. But I love the experience. There's no longer a 2-drink minimum. It's not hard to order 2 drinks while you're sitting there for a couple hours.
Well, let's talk about the food just a little bit. So if you wanted to have a meal there, you absolutely could. Mm-hmm.
Burgers and wraps.
It's kind of what they have. The fries we got were really good. Your pretzels looked good.
Yeah, the pretzels were great. The onion rings were fantastic. The food was really, really good.
I was kind of surprised because usually when you go to places like that, the food is bleh, but those fries were actually really good.
Yeah, and they do serve food there throughout the day as well. Like they're open as like a lounge and stuff without comedians sometimes.
And they have they have beer. Did they have
a full bar?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they have a full bar.
Full bar, so you can, at the moment I'm not drinking because of my old man condition, but absolutely an option and you certainly could, which is, I think is great.
Yeah, well, and it's probably not a bad idea if you're a drinker to have a drink comedy show because it loosens you up a little bit and lets you actually laugh at shit. But yeah, the food, I was surprised. The food was a lot better than I anticipated. I might actually even order something like a burger there if I were to go again.
Well, the guy behind me ordered that burger. And
it smelled good. It
smelled really good. It looked good when they brought it out.
That yeah.
And then the people next to me got the nachos, and those looked pretty good, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that was coming out was looking
decent. Yeah, nothing looked or smelled bad, so I think that's probably great. It's probably it's better food than Desert Star Playhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I know when you guys got back from that, Heather was like, that food was not good.
No, I got sick.
So overpriced.
I'm pretty sure I got sick
from the food. Yeah.
But you know, that's just some of what you're going to pay for. And I didn't think it was overpriced at Wise Guys either. Uh-huh. I thought it was reasonable. One thing to know, like the drinks are you know, not free refills. You know, you're going to pay $2 or $3 for a soda, for each one that you get. And it's okay. The wait staff is very quick to come out.
Well, and they're serving throughout the set. So it's not like once the lights go out, they're done. Our waitress was constantly, you know, quietly, but constantly, you need anything else? What can I get you? So very attentive.
Yeah. And definitely, definitely getting, you know, everything was timed very well because there was another show after us. We actually ran into, after you guys had left, we ran into a couple of friends of ours that were coming to see another show, the second show.
That's awesome. So I think the only critique that I have is the seats were crammed in there pretty tight. And maybe it's because it was a bigger name.
Yeah, I kind of wondered that myself because they were very tight, like six across, with a table, a barish table in front of you, not really spacing, but you had to slide all the way in the seats and there was no room.
Right.
Like, they were very tight.
And you have to, like, the people in the middle, everybody at the end has to get up so that you can get out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and I would just try not to be too close to the person next to me just because I didn't know them, but you're touching
to scoot over a little bit so you guys had all
you're touching the person next to you. I mean, it was fine, but just be aware that
don't bring like your big ginormous purse and your
try to pack light and on your way in.
It's over 21, so you're not going to be
because
kids
of the liquor license and everything. So
but it was fun. Like I say, it is tight now. I suppose if you wanted to sit more on the outer edges.
Yeah, there was maybe more room in some of those outer edges, but I liked sitting a little bit closer and up front.
I liked being up front. It was good. So that was my only critique, which if you even want to call it that, is they do pack you and they're kind of tight.
And you'll find that, honestly, with most comedy clubs, you're packed in fairly tight because they're trying to get as many people in as they can. Yeah.
And I don't think we quite had a full house. We went to the earlier show. Was ours the 7?
Yeah, it was the 7 o'clock show on Friday night.
And it was, there was a lot of people, but I don't think it was packed.
Yeah, well, and I think he had 4 total sets because I think he had that one, he had the 9, and then he had another 7 and a 9 on Saturday. So,
but the crowd coming in after just looked like it was...
It was going to be full. Yeah.
But we're all to
well, and they show. Opened up. I don't know if you noticed, but they opened up that side room well.
Yeah.
So they definitely had a lot more people in there than I think he probably saw. Yeah, it was great. In terms of like value, it was $35 a ticket to see a really well-known comedian. Chris Hardwick's a fairly well-known person. I didn't think that was crazy. The West Jordan one for the same night was $25.
Yeah.
So $10 more to go see, you know, Chris Hardwick, I thought was totally reasonable.
Well, like in a few weeks, Kevin Nealon to only pay $35.
I don't know if he's only 35.
Or do some of them go up depending
on? Let's see. So some of them do go up. Okay. It depends. So yeah, Kevin Nealon, looks like it says 35 to 110, which probably means
depending on
the seating, is different. Hardwick was open seating. Let's see what Taylor Tomlinson's got a big following. Let's see what hers is. $40 for her. She's sold out. Just to give you an idea of how popular this chick is, June 21st and 22nd, all our shows are already sold out.
What about Oswald Patton? He's huge.
Patton Oswald,
Yeah. When you give somebody two last names.
$60 tickets for Patton Oswald.
That's not bad.
No.
And he's got Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. That's in September, though. So if you want to go see Patton
in
Oswald.
September. You better get your tickets now.
Yeah, I think Kevin Nealon's pretty far out, too, actually.
See, I'd go see any of those guys.
Like Harlan Williams is a very known actor. I mean, he's been in a ton of shit.
I think Jim Brewer would be hilarious to see live.
Yeah, Harlan Williams only $30.
So I mean, really not bad.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Let's see when this Christina chick's here that Bree wants to see.
I think
$35 to $70 Tuesday and a Wednesday. Definitely not gone, but we record on Tuesdays. So. It's funny to see. Wow, I can't believe Taylor Tomlinson sold out. I'm kind of bummed, actually. I would have wanted to see that.
I think she's here while
She's here while we're in London, though.
I was going to say, one of them was going to be here when we were gone.
So, yeah, I would definitely recommend going to Wise Guys. I did want to talk about the Gateway because there is more to that area. So, I would not actually recommend going to Wise Guys and eating dinner there necessarily. Definitely like drinks, or they had some good looking desserts actually.
Yeah. Or like we all got a little snack.
Yeah. We got appetizers.
Pretzels.
There are a lot of restaurants right there in the Gateway in that area.
Right. And we actually ran across a little women's local only shop, like a brick and mortar.
Women in business.
Yeah. Women owned businesses, and they had like pictures of the ladies, and then you could go in and like,
just a cute little boutique shop there in the Gateway. But I wanted to talk a lot about the restaurants that are there. There's a bunch of them. When we came out, it was Mr. Shabu was packed.
It was packed.
The Hall Pass area was packed. Like all of those restaurants had a lot of people in them.
So the Seabird Bar around the corner is one that I did the design work for them. They're really cool guys. They also do wine tastings, the Seabird Bar. Then they've got the La Barbara coffee shop. It's all kind of together. Those guys are pretty cool, but they've got a spot there in the Gateway.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job of revitalizing at least that part of the Gateway. I don't know about the other side. I don't know what's going on over there. I don't go over there very often, but you know, if you want to go to a movie there, there's a lot of good spots for dinner and a movie. It's a really great area now.
Well, and the Planetarium was one of our favorite COVID trips.
Yeah, it's still one of my favorite places, period, is the Planetarium.
And you can get in for free. You can wander around for free. They have shows that you can pay for, but you just going there and seeing all the free stuff is cool. I know they do have like a lot of the kids stuff down at the other end, like the Discovery thing where kids go for school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's kind of more down at the other end. Is a lot of that kind of stuff. But there's a lot at the Gateway. Lots to choose from. Lots of places to eat. Lots of things to do.
Should we do our affirmation?
Let's do it.
This is the one that I flipped to. It's a chalkboard design.
Chalkboard design.
For those that are, I don't even know. They're definitely themed, I think, in a sense. But if you wouldn't say it to a friend, you shouldn't say it to yourself.
Okay.
Check your thoughts with this simple test. When you catch yourself being a jerk, respond the way you would if someone was saying that shit to your BFF. A simple bitch please usually does the trick. Today, say as many bitch pleases to yourself as you need to shut your jerk down. Man, that is a tough one for me.
Praise over here nodding. Yeah.
When it's like, when you catch yourself being a jerk, respond the way you would if someone was saying that shit to your BFF. But I say that shit to my BFFs.
True.
We're fucking so mean to each other sometimes. But that's part of the friendship, I think, is being able to razz each other. Yeah, good stuff.
Well, it's funny. Amongst our friends group, we all joke with each other and can be harsh with each other. But if an outsider did it, I think we'd all kill him.
Yeah, we'd all fuck him up. Well, none of us are violent people. Let's be clear. We're all pretty passive.
I am.
Bree would scratch their eyes out.
That's right.
Yeah, if you like what you heard, support us. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/TNUP. That's how you support us. You'll be able to join our Discord. Maybe you can name a chicken.
That's right.
You know, some other stuff like that.
If there's an adventure you'd like us to maybe try, you can make suggestions.
It's cheap. It's $1 a month on the lowest tier, and you get access to the Discord and get to chat with us.
We just have cool people on our Discord.
Yeah, they converse quite a bit. We're going to be growing that community with some of our
homesteaders. Those guys are cool talking about the homesteading. I need to get some more info from them, like what works where they're at. So see things like that if you're into homesteading.
Yeah, see, like all kinds of stuff. I'll nerd out with you if you want on, you know, any nerdy shit. You can follow us at TNU Podcast and most socials, and thenewutah.com is the website. Hopefully you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.